Good morning, everyone. Good morning, brothers and sisters. And I'm very glad to have this opportunity to preach to you. And thank you, Pastor Nick, for your invitation. May we receive God's blessings through his words during this time of worship. Ooh. Last time when I was here, it was a big day for you. That day was Pastor Nick's installation ceremony. We presented the license of the gospel ministry to him. And from that week on, Pastor Nick and I regularly met on Wednesday evenings before the prayer meetings. I praise God that he appointed Pastor Nick to be the English pastor here. He's a true blessing to our church, and I'm really happy for you to have such a wonderful pastor. Before I preach, let's bow down our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now as a church, as a flock of sheep, to listen to the voice of our great shepherd. We pray that you will draw our hearts close to you and, being moved by the Holy Spirit, respond to your words. And we pray that when we follow your steps and do what you've commanded us, we will feel the joy from you and experience the power of your words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, my topic today is the first koinonia. As all of you know, the annual theme of our church this year is koinonia. So I think it's quite appropriate to share this topic as my first debut in front of you. The most common translation of this Greek word koinonia is fellowship or to fellowship. Having fellowship among brothers and sisters in Christ is vital to our life as a Christian, especially in our church. To be a CBC West LA church member, when you fill out the application form, you'll be asked to inform the church which fellowship you belong to. And if you have ever attended the Chinese services, you've probably seen a slide that shows the four most beneficial things to your life when you want to be a Christ follower. That the first one is to get baptized. And the second one is to separate out of the week a day for worshiping God, just like today. And the third one is to study and to read Bible to nourish your spiritual life. And the fourth one is to have a fellowship life, to love one another. So we can tell fellowship is very important to us. But why didn't we use the word fellowship as our annual theme? Because sometimes when we talk about fellowship, we tend to think that is just the weekly gatherings. Allow me to use weekly gatherings to replace the Friday night fellowship for a moment. So we tend to think, as long as I come every Friday night, as long as I'm part of the youth or adult fellowship, then that's enough. By the way, it is really important that we belong to a group to share our burdens, bear each other's burden, and to be accountable to each other so we do not fall into the worldly trap easily. And it's also important that we have a different fellowship, for example, among different locations, different campuses. That's a very good strategy for outreach for the sake of spreading the gospel. You can see the map in different campuses, different locations, for different groups or different life stages. We have different fellowships. However, if we look into the term koinonia used in the Bible, it's way broader and deeper than the weekly gathering type of fellowship. Only if we fully explore and understand the meaning of koinonia and truly have a desire to live out a life of koinonia can we improve our weekly gatherings. Otherwise, we might spend 2 or 3 hours a week, but it's totally a waste of time if there's no true koinonia in our fellowship. How pitiful that is. That is the reason why we use koinonia instead of fellowship as the theme. So when we look at the theme, we won't really jump into a hole or limit ourselves in only thinking about how to reorganize our fellowship structures, or think more about how to have some creative ideas to grow our fellowship only. you may see the text, joined together by Christ, true community in Christ, and the real relationships through Christ. These help us to identify ourselves as a disciple of Jesus, and the reason and the purpose for us to be surrounded by the true relationship. Now let's turn our Bible to Acts chapter 2. The scripture we just read this morning, Acts 2, verse 41 to 7, describe the beginning, the birth of the church, and that's also the first time we see the word koinonia. So when about 3,000 souls were saved, verse 42 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. So we looked at devoted themselves to the fellowship. And if we go back, check the context a little bit before the scene, what happened? The scenario described here is how the crowd respond to the sermon of Apostle Peter gave in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. That was after the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Peter explained what's happening. He said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. And at the end of his preaching in verse 36, Peter says, let all the house of Israel therefore know the certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, which means they felt like they had to do something. Something needs to be changed. And said to Peter, the rest of the apostle, brothers, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls. See? Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Verse 40. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort him, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. This is what happened before the first koinonia. And if we trace back a little bit more to find out why Peter was doing and saying these things, we see it's because he was obeying Jesus' command. That's the great commission Jesus gave them after he died and rose again after 3 days in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Matthew 28, 18, also known, very famous, well-known verses. That's the Great Commission. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Therefore, the first koinonia in the Bible originally from Jesus' command, when his disciple witnessed the power from the death, then follow his words, boldly teach the word of the gospel, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work among them, koinonia appeared among them. Now let's look at the Bible again to see specifically what happened among them afterward. I'll read through the verse, and please follow me from Acts chapter 2, 41. So those who received his words were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. The breaking of bread reminds us the Last Supper and what Jesus did in front of his disciples last night. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them. We can interpret that as they spend time together to remember their Lord Jesus. Verse 43, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. While they lived together, we see how God worked miraculously and filled all the people with awe. If your friend come to the fellowship or colleagues ever come to Friday night, Saturdays, what would they feel? I think most of them will feel very welcomed, very loved and cared. But how come the Bible here told us that people were fearful in awe? They were terrified. Have you ever paid attention to that? Who were they fearful of? Is that God or someone else? Or maybe that day they came to the fellowship and someone had a long face. Oh, let's leave him alone. He's so scary. Is that the situation? I hope that's not the case. Here the Bible tells us that because the people came to communicate and to live with the people of God, then in turn learn more about God's existence, his power, and his authority, and they show their fear of God. Verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing them, the proceeds to all as any had need. Here we see that some characteristics started appearing. They started to share with others. They had all things in common. They sold their properties in order to give to those who in need. One thing we need to pay attention to is this. Who were gathering together in verse 44? It's all who believed. Who did they believe in and what did they believe? It's Jesus. They believed that Jesus is the Lord and they believed in the gospel. What made them be able to give up what they already had and gave it to others who were in need? It was because those things are not theirs anymore. It all belonged to Jesus himself. The ownership has changed. Therefore, whoever believed in the Lord lived in one body. We're all the same. Hey, do you have this? If not, just take it. Take mine, it's okay. Oh, I'm sorry, I really appreciate it, but no, it's okay. It's not mine anymore, it's all from God. So whatever the need is, they will take from where there is excess and share it with them regardless of it's yours or mine. People here who give won't think they are in a higher level. And those who take won't think they are a lower class. It's because they all admit that all grace comes from God, the one and only one they believed in and they rely on. The one who richly provides people with everything to enjoy. So they devoted themselves no matter when and where, as verse 46 says. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. We can tell that their lifestyle was a living testimony to the people that surrounded them. They influenced the people they met and they interact with. And God rejoiced in adding to them the number of people who were being saved. So you can put yourself meeting that group of people like them and also being attracted to them. The gospel can be spread like that. A lot of Saul were saved. They don't need to go knock on the door to door, or hand out the flyers. People were attracted by their life, and the soul were saved. That's such a wonderful picture. In fact, it's not only a picture. It's not only one shot. Koinonia is more like a documentary of the disciples' life together. Whenever they come together, they represent the koinonia. Can you put next? Yeah. Maybe the animation's causing the lags. We can see that it's a documentary of the disciples' life together. Whenever they come together, they represent the koinonia. So koinonia is describing this group of people who live together, doing things together, and share with each other. So it will be easier to understand if we use the term their life together to comprehend the true meaning of koinonia. Koinonia is their lifestyle. It is their life together defines the meaning of koinonia. Is this different from the stereotypical fellowship that you go every week? The Friday night fellowship? Let's think about this way. When they live together, did they have a rigid schedule? Okay, now it's 7 o'clock, let's eat a dinner, and let's have koinonia. Oh, no, it's 8 o'clock, so let's break the bread. And let's do this, and later do that, one by one. So at the end, it's almost night, let's pray and finish the koinonia. It shouldn't be that way, should it? It's more like whenever they are gathering together, there is the fellowship. There is the koinonia. Instead of, in order to fulfill the program of a fellowship, they come together. You can jump to this slide with the many five circles. Yeah. Okay, this one. Since koinonia emphasizes the concept of together, it can only be observed in a group setting, so at least two people or more, where people are receiving, sharing, participating, and bearing burdens. Wait a minute. Aren't these characteristics can also be observed in the society, our communities, and some other organizations? In society, people around us like to do things together. They would probably also call themselves koinonia. Then what's the difference? The biggest difference is that they are gathering by themselves, by people. But the koinonia in the Bible was gathering by God, called by Jesus. Jesus is the only reason for them to get there together. The only reason for them to become one body with one mission. The reason why they were in common was because they had the same Savior. Jesus Christ was their Savior. As Ephesians chapter 4, 4-6 told us, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. They received the baptism of the same Spirit, immersed into the body of one true God. The beginning of the real koinonia is when someone is willing to build his relationship with God. We can see the vertical relationship. And through this relationship, he's willing to extend or expand the relationship to others, the horizontal relationship. This is what we see in 1 John 1, verse 3. When John talked about the life of Jesus, that which have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. See the horizontal relationship between person to person, have a life-to-life communication. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That describes the relationship that originates from the vertical relationship between the believer and God. Up to here, we've seen the first koinonia and felt how wonderful the koinonia is. And we've known why the disciple could live a life like that. Let's stop a while and think for a moment. Is this the koinonia or fellowship we had in our life nowadays? Or is this kind of koinonia is so unfamiliar to me? Let's think more directly. Can people see this koinonia in our church, in our weekly fellowship gatherings. If not, then that means the first koinonia is facing challenges. It is in an endangered crisis. However, this problem was not only in our generation. In fact, in the New Testament, many warnings were given because koinonia was under attack. When the number of believers increased, they had to adapt the new identity of Christ and the new relationship of the parts and the body. They needed to maintain the unity. So some of them will think, do I really need to adapt the new identity in Christ? Do I really need to learn how to deal with the relationship in the body of Christ? Within ourselves, lots of our habits need to be broken down and rebuilt. Bible tells us, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Apparently, if we claim that we have a relationship with God but still walk in the darkness, we cannot show people what the true appearance of koinonia looks like. On the other hand, the church were also facing attack from outside. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? The reason Paul uses such a high contrast comparison is that some people were mixed into the group of the believers. These were the reason why koinonia is getting challenges. If the church cannot distinguish between the believers and non-believers, the koinonia will be destroyed. And as a believer, we will lose our hope of having koinonia. This is why the Bible has a lot of teachings and principles that remind us to not lose true koinonia. A Christian writer, a very famous theologist, who wrote a book called Knowing God by James Packer, he used a metaphor to describe the koinonia. He said it's like the blood circulation in the body of Christ. Koinonia is like the blood circulation in the body of Christ. We all know how important this cardiac vascular circulation is to the health of our body. People of my age need to have a blood test every year. If the result come back with something abnormal or even on the borderline of abnormal, then I have to start watch my diet and exercise regularly, even go to bed on time. Otherwise, I might get a chance to get my blood will get clogged somewhere in my body, which is very bad. Sometimes that causes neuromuscular damage. If you haven't had a good circulation in your part of your body, then you'll get, how to call it? Amputation. Of course, we don't want that happen to our body, right? The body of Christ also needs healthy koinonia. When there is something wrong with the koinonia, our new life will not grow healthily. The lack of koinonia is harmful to disciples' life and his spiritual life. It will strongly impact our relationship with God and with brothers and sisters. We don't want to see any part of his body get amputated, do we? So, in order to prepare ourselves to restore, to rebuild the koinonia, let me use 4 points with regard to God, Lord, body, and truth to help us to live in koinonia and live out koinonia. Next time we're getting together, don't forget God is with us. God is there. Let God be present. Acts 2:43 told us, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. When we get together, we must know that God is here with us. Like Jesus once said, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So when we get together, can we hear the voice from God, knowing God is talking to us? Does our life give glory to God? Is it pleasing to God? Can our life help others know God, trust in God more? Can people among us feel incredible, amazing, and in awe of God? Do our lives help people see where God is and help them turn toward God? Do our lives point to God like many wonders and signs that were being done through the apostles? Can our sharing show how God is a God of grace and blessings, discipling and punishment? Sometimes I feel like the testimony about God's teaching and corrections helps to make people more in awe of God. Do not let our gatherings be like the gathering in Genesis chapter 11, the building of the Tower of Babel. Let our gathering not be about proclaiming our names, how great we are, and how capable we are. Let us not just talk about our own stories and subconsciously forget that God is with us. Point number two, don't forget the Lord is alive. In verse 44, the Bible told us all who believed were together and had all things in common. In order to fulfill the true koinonia, we need to believe. Do we believe in the same Savior? Do we believe the Savior that sacrificed himself on the cross for our sins? You have to recall how you were first saved. Under what circumstances did God touch your heart or speak to you? Under what circumstances were you willing to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you behaved like a person that has been saved? And talked like a person that has been saved? Do you remember how Jesus saved you? Have you ever shared your salvation testimony to others? Can you imagine that? Hanging out with your brothers and sisters for, let's say, 2 years, but you never heard each other's salvation testimonies. Bible tells all who believed were get together. And what do you think you could be saved? Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is the grace from God, and only by his grace, that you can be saved. So when you come to the fellowship, do not boast or think you are somebody. This is not a social club. You are not a VIP with a gold card. If you never acknowledge how great God's grace is and have only come to the fellowship with your own pride, you are not the one. You are the one who destroy the koinonia. However, don't let the Lord just die on the cross and stay in the tomb. Have you ever believed that Jesus Christ is your Savior and he rose from the dead after 3 days? Just like how God not only led the Israelites across the Red Sea, but also across the Jordan River, God not only brought them out from the land of Egypt, but also brought them into the promised land. Do we believe in the same Savior that rose from the dead? His resurrection was not just the moment, not just at the moment when he walked out of the tomb, but he is still truly alive today. To have koinonia, everyone in the fellowship cannot stop at the moment when we were saved. We must understand that we need to live continually under the grace of Jesus. So you can imagine hanging out with your brothers and sisters for, let's say, 2 years. But the only testimonies you've heard is their salvation testimonies. Don't forget our Lord Jesus is alive. Since we all believe in the Lord and we believe that the word became flesh, we should be able to live out his word in our daily lives. The sharing we have should also be able to help each other so that we can be built upon in faith and love. The third point is, don't forget the body you and I belong to. If we believe in the same God, the same Lord, then we should be clear that God wanted us to join a group of people who are believers. That is, to join a group of people that are saved. These point out the concept of parts of the body. You have to have life in a group setting. You are no longer by yourself. You are not allowed to be just yourself. This is a good news for people who are afraid of being alone, but also a reminder for people who enjoy being alone. Therefore, we have to go to others and let others to come to us. Very often we are in a fellowship, we will see someone just sit in the corner. But with the true koinonia, we should be able to see someone willing to go to that corner with that person. And if you are the one that likes to sit in the corner, you need to learn to go out and try to open yourself to others. This is a bi-directional. Both sides are responsible for that. There's a Chinese saying, use our hot face to stick on others' cold shoulder. It's not shoulder. We don't need to be afraid of being that one with the hot face. And we need to remind ourselves that we shouldn't be that cold shoulder to others. It's very important that in a group of people, we do not hold and insist me or mine, but instead, we need to put down our ego. The scripture tells us all the gifts were given by one and same Spirit to each one of us according to the measure God's will. What God has measured in is just perfect. Cannot be a little bit more or a little bit less. If I only admire the gift that God gave to me, but cannot appreciate the gift that God distributed to others, and I do not trust that God called us in order to join and held together by every joint, to work properly and make the whole body grow, then there's no way we can see the true koinonia. And if there's no true koinonia, no one can have a holistic Christian life. The fourth point in bringing back to koinonia is not to forget the truth, which includes God's word and our sincerity. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You must be very familiar. This is the benediction that pastor gives at the end of the service. In other words, this is the words that the prayers that pastors say before letting you go back to the word. These blessings are the prayers that truly from our hearts. We all desire these blessings from the Trinity God. And these blessings can be realized on the base of the truth, the Word of God. How can we examine the love of God? And how can we recognize the grace of the Lord Jesus? It can only be fulfilled when all the people in this group have one mind and one will, stand firm on God's word, and allow the Spirit of truth to fellowship among his people. As I mentioned before, that koinonia is like the blood circulation in the body of Christ. I remember I learned from middle school that our blood circulation system, we have red blood cells. It carries the oxygen and nutrients. We also have white blood cells, which fight against the infectious invader to protect our body. They are in charge of the immune system. And we also have platelets in our blood to react to the wound, blood vessel injuries. They are responsible for blood clotting. So we can use that as an analogy for letting God's word spreading among us so everyone can take the nutrients that are needed to grow, like red blood cell, and letting the word of God to protect us, defending the attack from the enemy, like white blood cell, and letting the word of God comfort and heal the wound that we have, like platelets. Brothers and sisters, it is so important to have God's word circulate in his body for the koinonia. The last point of today's sermon is our sincerity. We see in Acts 2, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. When we live together, if there's no trustworthiness, then the koinonia is not a true koinonia. Our God is the true light. In him, there's no darkness at all. We tend to use more light to shine on others' darkness instead of our own darkness. It's very hard for us to expose our weakness in front of others. Sometimes we try to hide it very carefully, even use a mask to protect ourselves. And we have a very nice way to describe this tendency. We said, we don't want others to stumble. That's a nice excuse. But in fact, we care about our face, our reputation, our prestige more. That's why the true koinonia is disappearing in our camouflage. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We really need to be honest and sincere toward each other when we all have the same Lord, the same Savior, and we're willing to share our sins, burdens, and weakness with each other. We will realize that the power and the effect of Jesus' blood does not only work during the moment when we would receive our salvation, but works on every sin we have had before and afterwards. It is such a pathetic ignorance when we do not lean on Christ's redemption and try to use other useless ways to cover our sins. In the early church, we see a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. That can be found in Acts chapter 5. They thought they could lie to men, but actually they lied to God. In that case, they have to face the punishment of God. It was God's will at that situation, at that period of time. What they've encountered impacts us a lot, and it's very hard for us to forget. But if we don't learn the lesson and make the same mistake again and again, we think we have believers' fellowship, but there's no true koinonia. We think we have believers' fellowship, but our life is not growing in Christ. And we still think we have believers' fellowship, but God's glory cannot be seen among us. Isn't that the cruelest punishment to ourselves? Let's all strive to restore the first koinonia among us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you and pray for the true relationship with you and also for the true relationship with our brothers and sisters. We often forget the power of your blood and sneak back into being our old selves. We often live in the old lifestyle we used to instead of letting you be our sole master. We pray your spirit will keep working on your people, and may your glory and the first koinonia be restored among us and to the world. We pray in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.